Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, mantra 12. Who's going to read the mantra?
Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance. And still more, so do the worshippers of the impersonal absolute.
Thank you. So we are now dealing with different grades of non-devotees who are bereft, who don't follow the Ishvasya concept. So we remember this in the context of the whole Ishvasya. This is not just something we're talking, it is connected with the main topic of these studies. So please keep this in mind. We're going through the mantra. Mantras 9 and 12 describe people bereft of Ishvasya. In mantra 9, it is said that both the ignorant and the educated materialists are doomed, and among them, the atheistic intellectuals are worst. Mantra 12 states that the Mayavadis go in deeper darkness compared to the demigod worshippers. So it is a very similar message of these two mantras, 9 and 12. Just mantra 12 is taken more, it's more, you can say, on the application side. It goes a little further in the result, what actually happens. Mantra 9 just says it is worst, the worst position, and here it's more clearly said. The worship of the demigods brings merely partial and temporary relief from the miseries of the material existence. Therefore, Sri Ishupanishad advises that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be worshipped, since only this type of worship can bring the ultimate good for the soul. So, why here it is said they go in a deeper darkness compared to the demigod worshippers, the Mayavadis. They usually will take that they are more intelligent. They have their moral steer. So why they go in? They in a lower position here than the demigod worshippers, who are attached and have so many material desires, want to enjoy the Mayavadis. Yes. Okay. Good. The demigod worshipper, he might be not offensive. He's just attached. He knows Vishnu is the supreme, but he's not. He just wants to enjoy, to explore the material universe first, and then he might consider going back home to God. Okay, this is one aspect. Something else? Yes?
These demigod worshippers as following some of the rules of the Lord and not negating the Lord's
experience. Okay, very good. And that means they accept the personal aspect in life. They don't reject that there are personal relationships between people. It's very important. Because then it is just a matter of explaining to them that you have now this sense enjoyment based on personal dealings with people, but you can have higher sense enjoyment if you develop your a love of Godhead. Then you can, then you have higher, better people to associate, and you also better, in better consciousness. So everything goes in a higher level. But the Mayavadis, they just reject the very idea of relationships. So this is a real ignorance, in this sense. They are on a lower position. And it is more difficult to work with them. Because they have so many ideas already, wrong ideas. And they think that they know so much already. Because they're intellectuals, usually. This is like the story of this pandit who heard that there is a guru. He's living in such and such place, and this guru has particular knowledge that he would like to obtain. He was already very learned, this pandit, but he had an interest in particular subject. So he went there. He saw this guru, and he approached him. He told him what is the purpose of his visit. And then the guru told him, okay, I will give you this knowledge, but since you are coming from a long distance, this is the culture, so please sit down first, and now here is some water. He gave him a cup, and he started pouring water inside. And then he was pouring the water, and then the water started overflow, and then the pandit, he was, what are you doing? Stop. And then the guru explained, you see, you just like this cup of water, it's full already, so I cannot give you anything, because you think that you already know everything. So if the cup is full of water, I cannot put more. This is the position of the Mayavadis. They think they know everything. They already Narayan. They already realized that they are God. So it's very difficult to work with them and to preach to them. Okay, so next point. It is not possible to understand the absolute person simply by negating the material qualities. Simply by doing neti-neti, this process, it is not possible. Because then we'll just reject the material qualities, but we don't have any positive information about the spiritual world. And we'll just take the spiritual to mean the opposite of the material, which is not the full picture. Thus, although posing as high-grade transcendentalists, the Mayavadis actually support the cause of the atheists.
The atheist directly denies the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the impersonalists support the atheist by stressing the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord.
Thank you. So we have two categories here. The first, the atheists, they directly deny the existence of the Lord, but they are supported by the scholars, by the impersonalists, by the Mayavadis. How? An example how the Mayavadis support the atheists is given by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to Bhagavatam 1.1.1.
The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point for all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he sees sex life predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. The original fact is in the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man without information of the actual spiritual form of sex has accepted perverted material sex life as the all in all.
Thank you. Back to the previous point. So why the Mayavadis reject these personal relationships and the the whole concept of person, because Prabhupada explains many places, because of frustration. They have so bad experience with personal dealings between people that they just want to get rid of the whole idea. And example is given as someone who always ate sweet rice mixed with sand. This is the only thing he knows. He knows sweet rice with sand. He never tasted real sweet rice, and then without sand. And then because it's not very pleasant to eat this thing, sweet rice with sand. It is nice, but it's a problem. So then the whole idea is to reject the sweet rice. And they don't know that there is a real sweet rice without sand. So this is their position. And that's why they reject the concept of personalities. And what is the... Yes?
This connection, what is meant by the actual spiritual form of sex?
This is the pure love of God, especially in the Madhurya Ras. This is what is meant. The pure love of Godhead in conjugal relationship. This is. Yes.
Can you please explain, it says, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life.
Yeah. The whole thing is that the conditioned soul, he came here for sanctification in the material in the first place. We came, this is why we are here. That means the conditioned soul has to somehow or other to engage his senses with the sense objects. But if you deny the personal feature of Krishna, of the Lord, that means there is no way to connect the senses, your senses, with Krishna. There is no way to spiritualize the process of sense enjoyment. It just doesn't exist as an option. And then, what is the other option? Okay, sense gratification is bad. it's illusory anyway. But if you take this illusion, then this is bad. So what is the option? Then you have to be inactive. These are two options. But then we heard this morning from Bhagavad Gita, from Maharaj, that inaction is also is not an option. The soul is naturally active, not only when the soul is embodied in the material body, but even in the spiritual world, the soul is always active. So this is also not an option. So then what is the option? What is the option my body gives to the world by that philosophy? So sense gratification, yes?
Sense gratified here, otherwise there's no pleasure.
Yes, indirectly, exactly. Indirectly they say this. This is the implication. Yes.
So could that mean that another meaning of this actual spiritual form of sex could be what Krishna says, that I'm sex life according to rules and regulations?
It could be also that. Yeah. When it is applied in the material sphere, it's like this. Because it is connected ultimately to Krishna. Just another dimension, another level. And then, usually, normally, what the people do when they hear these two options? The Mayavadis give these two options. So, you reject. You have to reject the senses. Sense objects, and you have to follow this rigid, dry process of mental speculation, neti-neti, in order to achieve what? What is the goal? To realize that you are pure consciousness without object, without form, without feelings, without attributes, no goals. You're not even aware that you exist, in a sense. And so this is the alternative they give to people in their philosophy. And no wonder that most of the people reject this. They just engage in sanctification anyway, just being practical. And this is very interesting. The people actually don't reject Krishna consciousness. They don't reject God as such, most of the time. What they reject is the perverted idea of God that is being presented to them. They don't reject the Krishna conscious philosophy, but Sanatana Dharma. But they reject the perverted idea of Sanatana Dharma. Hare Krishna. And especially we see this in the case of the Christianity. This dogmatic presentation of God consciousness that Christianity is doing in the West. This is the main reason why so many people in the West they became big time atheists, because of this. The unreasonable presentation, unlogical, dogmatic presentation of God consciousness. This is what turns them into atheists. They didn't reject actually Krishna. And we see even great, you can say one of the, maybe the greatest atheist among the philosophers, one of the greatest, Nietzsche, even he said, he even wrote a book, Antichrist, and he said God is dead. But even he says in one of his writings, he says, I would believe only in God who is the best of the dancers. This is my idea of God. So, who is the best of the dancers? Gora Nataraj is the best of the dancers.
Why did he say so?
Because he was obsessed with beauty, the idea of... He noticed in Christianity that there is this suppression of natural expression of feelings, of love, affection, and he was meditating against this. He noticed that there is something wrong in this presentation of spirituality, basically. Because his logic was very proper, we can say, because if there is God, he must be the best in everything. It's not just this impotent idea of God. And spirituality meaning to be always in a, you know, in this mood of repentant and grave and sober all the time. Without, there even some Christians, they even say laughing is a sin. In certain monasteries they would say this. Benedictine monasteries, they have this idea. Well, we can say to talk about to talk prajalpa and to laugh, that's bad. But Prabhupada said actually once, laughing is a Vaishnava activity. Because if it is connected to Krishna and gives pleasure to Krishna, it is spiritual. So all these things, intuitively he noticed all these things and he was meditating. Okay. So he was an indirect worshipper of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you can say. Well, he was not aware of that. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Lord is a form of ignorance arising from an imperfect conception of the Absolute Truth. The Mayavadis who deceive their followers with concocted ideas must go to the darkest regions of the universe.
These rogues are the most dangerous elements in human society. Because there's no religious government, they escape punishment by the law of the state. They cannot, however, escape the law of the Supreme, who has clearly declared in the Bhagavad Gita that envious demons in the garb of religious propagandists shall be thrown into the darkest region of hell.
You have here biblical language, shall be thrown. Fortunately, we don't entertain this idea of eternal damnation of the soul. Okay. Any questions on this? Points? We'll move forward. Okay. Yes.
From this purport, it seems that the government also would have a duty to punish people who are propounding atheistic philosophies.
Yeah, this is the duty of the king, of the kshatriya, to see that everybody is following varnashrama. The brahmana is performing the duty of the brahmana, like kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, also the ashramas, and also they have to, the kshatriyas, they have to protect the religious principles, dharma, and this is part of their duty. Yeah. We see examples in history when the Vaishnavas, when the king will become a Vaishnava, he would give an option. Either you follow Vaishnava Dharma or you have to leave the kingdom. Okay, mantra 13. You like to read?
It is said that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and that another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme.
Thank you.
All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explain it.
Okay. So again, this is very similar to another mantra. Which one?
The this one mantra. One result is obtained from knowledge and one from the seeds.
Yeah. So this is which one? Number 10. So we see 9 and 12 and 10 and 13 are connected, similar. Just 12 and 13 are more on the application. They go deeper in the details. So mantras 10 and 13 have similar messages. From mantra 10 we learn that the cultivation of knowledge and nescience brings different results. In mantra 13, it is confirmed that the worship of the Absolute Lord leads to different results compared with the worship of what is different from the Supreme. Both mantras point out that the source of genuine knowledge is Dhira, or the undisturbed Vedic authority. So this is similar. The same point. When we established philosophy in the everywhere, in the Western or Vedic context, it is accepted that first you establish the pramana. What is the proof? What is the valid source of knowledge you accept? So here, dhira, this is the source of knowledge. This is the pramana. And pramayas are, pramaya means what is being established by the pramana. In the same way in the Dashamala Tattva, we were studying, I think, 2 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur first establishes the Vedas as the supreme authority. And then, on the basis of this, he establishes 9 pramayas of our philosophy. So, it is a standard way of presentation. So, who is the pramana? The undisturbed authority is the acharya, who is not a victim of material desires, and can therefore remain constantly engaged in devotional service. Because if someone is victim of material desires, his devotional service will be interrupted. It won't be a high to kiya pratyata. The undisturbed Vedic authority is described in Sri Upadeshamrita and Bhagavad Gita as follows.
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Nectar of Instruction, verse 1. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person Dira is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:14.
Thank you. So here we see different aspects of Dira. Since the non-devotees are constantly disturbed by the onslaught of material desires, they are not qualified to speak on spiritual topics. Therefore, we should not listen to their explanations. One should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-Vaishnava. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Similarly, talks about Krishna given by a non-Vaishnava are also poisonous. One must be a bona fide devotee, and then he can preach and impress devotional service upon his listeners. Prabhupada makes this in comment in the Bhagavatam. The results of listening from a bona fide spiritual master and from a mundane speculator will be different. Therefore, if you read Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, the very beginning, the first paragraphs of the commentary of Prabhupada, you see Prabhupada making the point that this 9th chapter is meant for devotees. And if someone who doesn't have the mood of a devotee reads this 9th chapter, to him it will appear to be something different than it is actually. Therefore, also in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that one should at least theoretically accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And then he can take some advantage of reading Bhagavad Gita. Okay. One who listens from a person who is disturbed by the whirlpool of material energy will not achieve faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, I was reading an interesting book. I just, well, at least in the beginning, it appeared that it will be an interesting book. I read the, how you call this, how they present the book. You read in a, let's say, in a magazine, they over review the book, okay. And then I thought, well, this might be interesting. It was a Bhagavad Gita, translated by a devotee scholar. And inside the translation, he put also commentaries from Ramanuja, Madhva, like this, so I thought that's, and Shankar. So I thought that's very interesting. I bought the book. And then I opened the introduction, and the first thing I read, one of the first things was, he says there, so, did Krishna actually exist or not? I don't know. And I couldn't care less. The most important thing is that the things he's given in Bhagavad Gita, actually, they work. So at this point I just closed the closed the book, and then I have a friend. I met this person on Sankirtan years ago. He's a lawyer, very intelligent, nice person. He's not a devotee, he's kind of Buddhist. So I, next time I met him, I gave this book to him as a present. At least he'll get some contact with Gita, because he's a Buddhist, you know, anything connected with Krishna for a Buddhist will be an upgrade. But I didn't read it myself, because this person who wrote the book is a faithless person. He doesn't have faith in Krishna. So naturally everything he says will be tainted with this defect. So Prabhupada says here in this purport that we just read, one should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-Vaishnava. This is a devotee, kind of devotee, but he doesn't really have faith that Krishna was actually a real person. He just tries to take advantage of Krishna's knowledge, you can say, of Krishna's energies, without actually recognizing even Krishna as a person. So there is some problem in the mentality. So we should stay away from these kind of presentations of Krishna consciousness or Bhagavad Gita or whatever it is. It's polluting, actually. Yes.
Just a comment on the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is written very simple Sanskrit, so to juggle it around the definitions is good. Krishna says, surrender unto me, you know,
yeah.
And he repeats it, you know, many times, so if you want to interpret it, you have to be really stupid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very simple Sanskrit, that's true. It's, I was talking with Vidvan Gauranga Prabhu yesterday. He said that it's meant for, traditionally it's meant for children, memorizing Bhagavad Gita. It's a children book in this sense. Simple Sanskrit. And that, this is why many, sometimes when they present the commentaries on Gita, they won't even mention the verses, they will just present the commentaries. Because it is assumed that you already know what is going on in the Gita. Just like this. Okay. The results of listening from a bona fide spiritual master and from a mundane speculator will be different. One who listens from a person who is disturbed by the willpull of material energy will not achieve faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It has been pointed out many times, because this is the point, to achieve faith or to strengthen our faith. This is the difference between Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. One of the differences is that the Kanishta Adhikari has very soft faith. The Madhyama's faith is strong. And the Uttama Adhikari's faith is the strongest. So if reading something or associating with a person, if this doesn't benefit our faith, it doesn't make it, we cannot develop our faith or make it stronger, then it's just useless. Because Krishna Prema is actually is developed Shraddha. Faith is very important. This is something we should preserve very carefully, the faith we have in Krishna. This is the most precious thing we have. This Bhakti Lata Bija. Should keep it very carefully. Because if you lose our faith, we lose everything. It has been pointed out many times that prior to Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America, there were many Bhagavad Gita translations available on the market. But as they were not presented by an undisturbed Vedic authority, they failed to produce devotees. In his purport to Mantra 13, Srila Prabhupada explains. Okay.
Before hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was disturbed by the material whirlpool, by his affection for his family, society and community. Thus, Arjuna wanted to become a philanthropic, non-violent man of the world. But when he became Buddha, by hearing the Vedic knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Person, he changed his decision and became a worshipper of Lord Krishna, who had himself arranged the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna worshipped the Lord by fighting with his so-called relatives, and in this way he became a pure devotee of the Lord. Such accomplishments are possible only when one worships the real Krishna, and not some fabricated Krishna invented by foolish men who are without knowledge of the intricacies of the science of Krishna described in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you. So for the crooked persons, there is false Krishna that is presented to them. It's not the real one. Even if they claim they have seen Krishna, they talk to him, it's not the real one. It's just illusion. So you get what you deserve. Inspired by Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, and following Arjuna's exemplary surrender, thousands of Westerners opposed the materialistic society and decided to surrender to Krishna. Thus Bhagavad Gita as it is produced the same result as it produced 5,000 years ago. The illusion was destroyed and the pure devotional service was firmly established. See the connection? It's the same thing. The same thing happened. Mm-hmm. So that means it is the same message, the same Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because there were many Bhagavad Gitas before that. But they didn't produce the same result. Nobody practically became a devotee in the West. although there are many translations. Bhagavatam. Okay. Don't have any questions, we'll stop here. Everybody's tired after 6 lectures.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.